For our time on this Mother's Day in the Word, we will be in the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew. We'll start off in Matthew 15. At a couple mothers, two different mothers, devoted mothers, devoted to their children. And in their devotion to their children, they come to Jesus. And it's through their relationship with their children that they then find themselves prostrate on their knees before Jesus Christ. And so we'll start off here in Matthew 15, begin in verse 21. And here we see the faith of a desperate mother, the faith of a desperate mother. Matthew 15, verse 21 says, "Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed.' But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she cries out after us.' But he answered and said, 'I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' Then she came and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' But he answered and said, 'It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs.' And she said, 'Yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table.' Then Jesus answered and said to her, 'O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire.' And her daughter was healed from that very hour." So we're told of an event. Jesus is in Tyre and in Sidon, which is Gentile area. There were some Jews that lived there. And so we see this mother who's in crisis. As she comes to Christ, her child is in trouble. And as she says here, "My daughter is severely demon-possessed." And I can only imagine what that was looking like. I don't know. Obviously, it was terrible. Obviously, it was bad. Obviously, it was creating a lot of issues within their family, as I can only imagine. And she's at the point of complete desperation. As we see her come to Christ here, she comes to Jesus just pleading and desperate. And perhaps she's gone other places for help, and nothing has worked. No one can help her. And so she hears of Jesus and she is desperate and she is convinced, Jesus can help me. If anyone can help me, Jesus can help me. But here's the issue. She's a Gentile. And the Jews considered the Gentiles as they called them dogs. And that's a derogatory term, a very derogatory term. In that day, it was very, very derogatory. That's how the Jews viewed the Gentiles. They viewed them as worthless. They viewed them as detestable and not worthy of God. That's how the Jews viewed the Gentiles. Now, I know we have pets, we have dogs, and I think it's hard for us to truly understand here what that term means. We lived in Tanzania, and so in Tanzania, dogs are not pets at all. They're rats. They're just big rats. That's all they are. They eat off the garbage pile. They run around in packs. You would never pet one, not even dream of it. They're nasty. They're gross. They're disgusting. That's what's going on here, right? That's how, in this culture, that's how dogs were. That's what they were like. And of course, we had a pet dog that we fed and we cuddled and it drove everyone else there nuts. But right, because that wasn't, when we had an African who came and he stayed here in the States for a little while, and he was just totally appalled at the way we treat dogs and have beds for dogs. And someone even had little steps that goes up to their bed so the dog could get in their bed. He was just absolutely appalled at that. All right, so that's right. That's the mindset. So when we're using this term dog, we're not talking about a pet. We're talking about something that's repulsive. We're talking about something that's seen as really not having much value. And that's how the Jews viewed the Gentiles. And so as this woman, a Gentile, comes to this Jewish rabbi, surrounded by his Jewish disciples, Right? That must have been hard. Right? That was a step of faith for sure. She's expecting to be rejected. That's what she's expecting. But she doesn't give up. Right? She perseveres. And we see Jesus ignores her. To begin with here, he just ignores her. He doesn't even respond at all to anything she's saying to him. And so then we see the disciples, they're like, just if you're not going to deal with this, just send her away. Do something. And so then we see Jesus' response. And in this, we see Jesus is testing her faith. That's what he's doing. It's not, he loves her, right? It's not that he didn't love her. It's not that he didn't have respect for her. He's about to go to a cross and die for her, for all of mankind, right? It's not that. It's not that he felt the same stigma towards her that the others Jews did. But he is testing her faith here. And so in his response, right, he knows what her thoughts are. He knows what everyone else's thoughts are. He knows how the Jews consider and call the Gentiles dogs. And so he uses this term, little dog, right, to take the sting away from it. But still address what's going on. Still address kind of where everybody's at. And to test her, where are you at? What are you thinking here? Why have you come to me? And so he tells her, right, I've come to Israel. I've come to the Jews. That's why I'm here. That's where my ministry is. And Jesus' ministry, that for the most part, that's who it was too. And so I love her response here. Right? It's a response of desperation. It's a response that's completely humble. Because she could have walked away. In pride. Right? In pride. In that you're rejecting me. You're not even responding to me. I'll go somewhere else. She didn't do that. She could have. She's completely broken, completely humble. Her faith is in desperation mode here. And so she's just saying, I will take whatever. I'll take whatever. Even the little dogs receive the crumbs that are off the table. And I'll take whatever you have for me. I will take it. And I love her response, a response of faith. And Jesus acknowledges that. Woman, great is your faith. Right? Great is your faith. I mean, I can't think of a better compliment. As he talks to this Gentile woman, he tells her, great is your faith. And she was rewarded. And she was rewarded for her faith here. Her daughter is healed. And so as I look at this and I see this situation and we see this woman, this mother that comes to Christ in the midst of desperation, there's a couple things that come to mind. And the first is persistent prayer, right? In our own lives, as we come to God with the issues that we're dealing with, the things that we're struggling with. And Jesus gives a lot of illustrations, a lot of things talking about prayer and talking about being persistent within that prayer. And we see that. We see that illustrated here as she comes to him. There's only one that can help. There's only one that can help us in our time of need. There's only one that truly understands. And that's Jesus Christ. And so who is it that we seek in those moments? Where is it that we turn in those moments? Is it Jesus? And so we see, right? We see this desperation. We see this persistence as she comes and she seeks the Lord. And it should be the same for us as well. I also see here desperate humility. Just desperate humility, because she was not expecting Jesus to meet her on her terms. She did not come to Jesus and just stand before him and say, hey, I have an issue. Help me here. You need to deal with it. She did not do that. She came humbly. She came on her knees. She came seeking him and in that, right, she showed great, great humility. Even in the midst of rejection, she was humble, continually seeking. And so are we like that? As we come to Christ, as we come to God with our issues and with the things that are going on in our lives, are we humble or are we expecting God to meet us on our terms? To respect us as we think he should respect us? That he should deal with things as we think he should deal with things? Or are we desperate enough to say, Lord, your will be done. I'm coming here. I'm humbling myself before you. I'm seeking your face. And I am desperate. And whatever, right? Lord, just whatever. I'm willing to accept it. I have come to you in humility. And then certainly here, unwavering faith. This woman is commended for her faith. That we would have faith like that, unwavering faith, this demonstration of complete faith and trust. Is that us? Is that us? Do we trust God? Do we trust that He knows what He's doing, even in the most difficult and terrible of circumstances? I've come to realize, didn't take very long, but after you live a few years, you realize this. Most of life is completely out of my control. Right? Most of our lives are completely out of our control. We try to do the best to manage it. We do. But really, right, at the end of the day, it's out of our control. And so where is it that we are trusting? Who is it that we are seeking? Turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, we see this illustrated with the disciples. And I just want to compare this mother, as she came to Jesus, we see her faith. She's commended for her faith. And now we see the disciples, and they're rebuked for their lack of faith. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 says, "On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side.' Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and the other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, 'Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?' And they feared exceedingly, and said to one another, 'Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" So we see the fear, right? We see the anxiety in the midst of this storm, and our lives are often like that. Right? There's turmoil. There's a storm raging. Who's in your boat? Right? Who's in your boat? Do we trust? Do we have faith? Do we acknowledge Jesus is with me? In the midst of the storm, I can trust that He has this. Does He have the ability to calm it? Yes, for sure. Does He have the ability to preserve us in the midst of it? Of course He does. And He does. And we can trust in that. We can have faith in that. And we see the disciples here, right? They are admonished. They're told, where's your faith? I just want to compare that. Here's this woman, this Gentile woman, and she's commended, right? Great is your faith. Here's his disciples. Like, where is this faith that you should have? And so what about us? Right? Where's our faith in the midst of those things? We see this mother in her desperation. In her devotion to her child, she seeks Jesus. The next mother we'll look at is a little bit different situation. Turn to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew 20. Here we see a Jewish mother. And again, she's devoted to her children. And out of that devotion, she's seeking Jesus. She's seeking a request from Jesus. So Matthew chapter 20, verse 20. Here we see the sacrifice of a concerned mother. Sacrifice of a concerned mother. Matthew chapter 20, verse 20 says, "Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, 'What do you wish?' And she said to him, 'Grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on the left in your kingdom.' But Jesus answered and said, 'You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?' They said to him, 'We are able.' So he said to them, 'You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father.' And when the 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." So we see a mother of two of the disciples, James and John, coming to Jesus. And she's concerned here. She's concerned for her sons. They've made great sacrifice in order to follow Jesus. And they've given up much to pursue being disciples of Jesus Christ. And so we see her, she's concerned out of her devotion to her son. She now comes to Jesus. Again, we see a mother on her face, on her knees before Christ. But she has a request. She's doing it because she desires something for her son. She wants to see them be rewarded. I think any mother would love that, right? Want that for their children, right? You see them work. You see them make sacrifice for whatever. You want to see them rewarded. You want to see them be successful. And that's what she wants for her sons. And so she comes to Jesus and she just wants reassurance. Hey, I want, right, my sons need to be getting something out of this. And I understand, right? She's like, I get that this is an eternal thing. This is a kingdom thing. She acknowledges that by her request here. And so she says, look, when your kingdom is, right, when that kingdom time comes and you establish your kingdom, I ask that my sons, based on the sacrifice they've made and the devotion they have to you, that they be rewarded with great honor. The honor of sitting next to you, one on one side and one on the other side. Now, she didn't play favorites and say, I want this son on the right side and this son on the left side. Right? She wasn't going to do that. Right? You decide, Jesus, which one. But that's what I want for my boys. Right, as a mother, right? That's what her desire was. I get it. And so I love how Jesus responds to her and talks to her. He doesn't berate her. He doesn't condemn her. He doesn't say, oh, your priorities are out of whack. You have no idea what you're talking about. He doesn't do that. But he does address the hard issue here. And he does ask her, are you willing to make the sacrifice? Are you willing to drink from my cup? Are you willing to be baptized in the same baptism that I'm going to be baptized in? And in that, he's saying, are you willing to endure the shame and the suffering that I'm about to endure? As he's approaching the cross, when he says, drink the cup, he's talking about enduring the wrath of God, drinking the wrath of God, and experiencing the wrath of God being poured out on him. And the suffering and the shame that would go along with that. And eventually being crucified and killed. Right? That's what he's saying. Are you willing to also partake with that with me? Are you willing to make that sacrifice? Are you willing to be baptized? He's not talking about water baptism at all here. He's talking about being immersed. Are you willing to be immersed in this as I will be immersed in it? Are you willing to suffer? Are you willing to experience that for me? Is that what you want? Is that truly what you want? As a mother, is that what you want? And she says here, and they say here, yes, we're willing, right? We're in this to the end. We're willing to sacrifice. We're willing to do this. And did they have any idea what they were talking about? Probably not. Probably not. Not until later on. But as Jesus acknowledged here, yes, you will suffer. Yes, you will endure. But I think as this mother, she comes to Christ, what greater desire could we have for our children that then they follow Jesus Christ? That they sacrifice all to know Him and have a genuine relationship with Him, whatever the cost, whatever that looks like. But here's the thing, as parents, right? As they suffer, we suffer. And we see that, and that's what Jesus is asking her. Are you willing to accept that? And here's the deal, she would endure great suffering. Because in just a couple years, her son will be dead. James, the first of the apostles to be martyred, to be killed. Can you imagine, as a mother, having to deal with that? and know what that means. She would have to endure, along with her sons, right, deal with the shame and everything that Christ was about to endure, and having, right, their Savior, their Lord, everything they placed their hope in, having that snuffed out, having paraded through the streets of Jerusalem as a common criminal and crucified, not knowing what's going to happen, seeing Him die, seeing Him suffer, seeing, right? She's going to experience, just as Jesus said here, you will, right? You will suffer. And yet, the resurrection, right? Knowing Him, seeing Him. But then as the church is birthed and seen as her sons are certainly, right? They're apostles, they're part of that process. And it's not a cakewalk at all. And as a mother, she has given her sons to follow Jesus, whatever the cost, whatever that takes. And it meant the death of one. And John, right? John, the Apostle John, who wrote the Gospel of John, who wrote 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, who wrote the book of Revelation, who lived to be like 90-some years old, the only apostle not to be martyred. I'm sure there were things that she, right, she saw her son going through as he ministered, as God used him. There were things, right, that he had to deal with as the mother, right? She's struggling with as well. But in that devotion, right, as we see her devotion for her sons, we see Jesus asking, are you willing to endure the cost? Are you willing to give your children truly to me? Are you willing to do that? As we see this mother, as we see the mother of James and John, as they come to Christ, there's a couple things that I draw out, certainly for us. And the first is complete sacrifice, right? Complete sacrifice. The cost of discipleship is sacrifice of everything. All that we have, all that we own, everything we desire, everything we could ever want. That's the sacrifice. Are we willing? Are you willing to sacrifice that? And are you willing to sacrifice that for your children? That's what Jesus is asking us here. Are we willing to suffer for the cause? Are we willing to let go of everything that's become important to us? Are we willing to let go of everything that in our world, in our society, says you are successful if you do this? Are we willing to let go of that? Say, Lord, no. I want to follow you. Wherever that leads, whatever that looks like. As a child, I learned from my parents that it's more important to follow the call of God and to endure hardship than to seek comfort, than to seek success, than to seek wealth. And certainly within that, there is great comfort and there is great joy. And we see that, yes, to follow Jesus is their trial, is their tribulation, is their suffering. Yes. But as we read in our scripture reading, is there also joy and comfort that comes along with that? Yes, for sure. Great comfort, great joy. And then along with that, we see humility. Again, we see this thought of humility, humble service, as Jesus talks to the other disciples. They're mad, right? They're mad. And rightfully so, probably. Right? They're miffed about what's just happened. And so they're mad at James and John. And so Jesus addresses that as well. And he addresses their ambition. He says, put aside your ambition. So what about us? Are we willing to put aside our own ambitions and our own desires and look out for ways to serve each other, to serve our brothers and sisters in Christ? And Jesus says here, truly, right? If you're desiring a reward, if that's your desire, seek to serve, seek to sacrifice. As we've been dealing with that thought in 1 Corinthians, right? And dealing with the church at Corinth, a church that truly needed to learn what it meant to love and to sacrifice for each other, right? We see that Paul telling his apostles here, right? If you want to be great, if you want to be recognized, be a slave. Be a slave, be a servant. And that takes humility. Look at Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, here we see this great description. Matthew 10, verse 37. What it means to be a disciple. a follower of Christ. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. It says, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. And he who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses life for my sake will find it." Jesus confronting his disciples, talking about relationships and talking about your relationship with me. That has to be the most important. Doesn't say we can't love our children. Can't say we don't love our parents and our spouse. But our love, our passion has to be for Jesus and for him first and foremost. Has to be. And so what is it that we want out of our lives? We see these two mothers out of devotion to their children. They came face to face with Jesus Christ. But what about us in our lives? Right? What is it that we're trying to accomplish? What is it that we want for our children? What is it that we want for our children? Do we want a life of someone who never succeeds? Never accomplishes anything as the world sees it, and yet is in love with Jesus? Are we willing to accept that? Are we okay with that? Here's the promise. The promise of a life that is fulfilling. Right? A life that is fulfilling is devoted to God no matter the cost. Right? It's devoted. A life that truly, and we're all seeking that. Right? In our lives, we're all seeking to find fulfillment. We're all seeking in ways to be recognized, to be fulfilled, to right? We are flesh, right? We're always seeking that in one way or another. But truly, if we want fulfilled, we will only find it as we are devoted to God, no matter the cost. And so we see from these mothers, these devoted mothers, we learn truly what it means to be devoted to God. We learn what it means to certainly be persistent and pursue our relationship with Jesus Christ in prayer and in His Word. We see an unwavering faith. No matter the circumstance, no matter what's going on, to seek Christ in the midst of whatever's going on. We see complete sacrifice. We see humble service. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for these examples, these two examples of these mothers that just cared about their children. And we thank you that they came to Jesus. And so I pray, oh Lord, that would be our heart as well. I pray that in the midst of whatever we're struggling with, whatever our children are struggling with, that we would come and we would seek your face. Oh Lord, draw us to yourself. I pray, oh Lord, that we would come and we would know you in a wonderful and rich way, in a way that is comforting, in a way that brings joy in the midst of this life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand as we close our service.